listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young.
Welcome to Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Gabriel Owens. With me, my co-host, Alan Young.
Hello.
Talk about all the news in mixed martial arts. Also celebrating, along with Radio Free Cybertron, the podcast, the month of podcasts in November. What's it called? The month of podcast.
Podcast month.
Right. Radio Free Cybertron. We'll be doing a podcast a day for the entire month.
Podcast Awareness Month. I think that's a purple ribbon, maybe.
That'd be a rainbow ribbon. It's kind of gay. Burn! But I just did a show earlier with my brother about the apocalypse, and now I'm doing one of my regular shows here with Alan Young.
The apocalypse?
Yes, we did the apocalypse.
Okay.
Like the actual, like, you know, what would happen during apocalypse, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And, but now we're here to talk about a different kind of apocalypse. The apocalypse of BJ Penn's face.
It did not look pretty.
The world of mixed martial arts. Last weekend we saw the utter destruction of BJ Penn. So his ass handed to him pretty easily in second and third round by Nick Diaz. So in the main event, were we surprised by the outcome, or?
I was not, no. I saw that a lot of people had predicted that BJ would be the winner, but I didn't think that would happen. I don't see where, well, in hindsight, that's easy to say, but even beforehand, I didn't see where BJ was better in any particular skill set than Nick Diaz.
He's a better wrestler.
Yeah, but
then it goes to the ground, and then we did see a brilliant display of two high-level black jiu-jitsu black belts.
That's what I was about to say. Nick Diaz has as good a jiu-jitsu as BJ.
And it was if you are like a jiu-jitsu guy, like just really into it, I mean, that was like a really fun little minute, you know, just watching those two roll around the ground.
Right.
But BJ didn't really try the takedown after that. And I said his actual, you know, wrestling skills, was, you know, in terms of, you know, taking a guy to the ground, blocking a takedown, you know, what have you. BJ did have the advantage there. He was he's a better wrestler. He did take him down the first round. He basically won him the first round. I think, you know, he had him in a bad position, had his back.
Yeah,
but.
Close first round, anyway.
It was close. I gave the first round to BJ. I did give the second round a 10-8. Almost a 10-8 set third round. Maybe if there was a half-point system, maybe an 8-5.
Yeah.
In round three. But definitely round two, BJ just got lit up. Like, he got, you know, Nick started landing body blows, which, you know, I mean, visibly took cardio and fight out of BJ. And then he just started doing those little Stockton slaps. Yeah, the Diaz punching method of just, you know, hitting you really fast. Not very hard necessarily, but just hitting you in the face a lot of times. And I think most human beings would have fell in that second round. BJ has a hard Hawaiian head.
Yes.
He stumbled a couple times, which is, I think, the first time I've ever seen BJ ever even be stumbled by punches.
Yeah. But he sure took it.
He
like ground beef afterwards.
He gave back. Nick was not unscarred, you know.
He had a black eye or something, didn't he?
Yeah, his face was marked up pretty bad. BJ countered on him quite a few times. Unfortunately, Nick is very, very hard to knock out, and, you know, BJ's counters were good, but it wasn't enough to stop, stumble, or put Nick down, and he just came back with his rapid-fire shots, and BJ just didn't know what to do with him. That's how he remembered, like, oh, yeah, I should try to get this guy to the ground at least. It was too late. He didn't have the the power or the ability to get Nick down, failed his takedown attempts, and just kept getting pounded in the face. I would say sad. It was just I had it even going in. The odds makers had it even. You know, it was an interesting pick-em fight. And
yeah.
In retrospect, we always say, like, well, yeah, obviously, you know, Nick, blah, blah, blah. But I had even going in. I was interested. The way this whole card came out, which was just a cluster from beginning to end since, you know, the infamous failure to show up for a press conference.
Right.
You know, ended up in a, you know, making probably a more interesting situation than it would have if he'd straight fought GSP.
Yeah. Which, of course, after this fight, immediately after the fight, Dana allegedly called Carlos Condit, who allegedly graciously stepped aside so that Nick could have the next title shot. Although Carlos's manager says it wasn't a graceful step aside. So who knows what the story there is exactly.
Jordan Breen was saying a sure dog, which I agree with. Carlos is probably getting some kind of compensation on the table for getting put through all this bullshit. So I don't feel too bad for him, you know, other than obviously he wants a title shot. That's probably, I don't know if that's more important than money. For me, I'd go for the money, but sure.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's being compensated for being put through all this bullshit.
Right.
So, you know, Dana's good like that. You know, he's not going to, you know.
Not going to just totally screw him.
Yeah, he's always good. Even back when UFC was poor, he was good with throwing around money for fighters that deserved it. So I'm sure he got compensation like, sorry, we pulled you out of this fight. Sorry, we promised you this. Now you're not getting it. And now he has the option. He can wait to fight the winner, GSP, Nick, or he could
take another fight. Risk losing a title shot.
We've seen with Anthony Pettis and Rashad Evans, maybe not the best idea.
Yeah.
Well, also GSP gave it up to take a fight and with BJ, and he won that fight.
Yeah.
So
it happens both ways.
It does. You know, it shows your mettle. You know, you go in and like you just go. It's like, you know, if you just and my thing is if you deserve the title shot, you know, and you should be able to win a fight in between. If you lose the fight, it's like, well, maybe you didn't deserve the damn title shot.
Yeah.
But that was the main event of last week's card. Kind of a hit. I don't know if you watched from the beginning of. I saw the fights from Facebook on. Very hit and miss card altogether, but saved by the course of the spectacular main event.
I did not see the Facebook fights except for the
Brandon Vera.
Elliot Marshall versus Brandon Vera, right? That they showed on the Spike,
which wasn't even like a great fight, but it just shows you, you know, that the undercard was very lackluster. It was all decisions. Right. The very first fight was two guys who were both undefeated, but their first UFC fights, they were both way nervous and had a pretty shitty fight.
Yeah.
Some other, you know, decent fights on there here and there. The stripper ninja beat the shit out of Danny Boy Downs. Did go to the decision, but, you know, it's only because Danny Boy Downs is just ridiculously hard to put away, but he was so outclassed. It was, you know, I think one judge had it 10-25.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think it's, the only score I remember worse is like someone had the infamous Caleb Starnes fight 10-24.
30-25,
30-26, 30-27. Yeah.
That's a pretty bad beating.
He got whooped. And he said, we saw the Brandon Vera fight was the last fight on the Facebook cards. Brandon won the first two rounds in a boring fashion, but he pretty much handily took the first two rounds, and he,
yeah,
the third round was, you know, he got taken down, and he got armbarred fully and didn't tap, and they lost the lost the armbar, and
Elliot Marshall
lost the armbar. But after the fight, it was pretty clear that Brandon Vera had got his arm screwed up.
as I vaguely recall from watching it several days ago, as my old memory is not so great, but I vaguely recall thinking that a liberal judge could have made the last round 10-8.
I wouldn't have had a problem with it. I wouldn't have a problem making that fight a draw. Which is no good for Brandon Vera, who, you know, was literally fired and got his job back simply by the fact that the last guy that beat him ended up failing a drug test.
Right.
So they could not, I don't know if legally or morally, I don't know what they just said, well, we just can't fire him because he lost to a guy who failed a drug test. So they laid back in, had another fight, and he...
He barely won.
He's still not looking good.
Unimpressive fashion. But he's presumably still employed, so maybe next time he'll look better.
I've been wondering that for like the last five fights. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I
don't know what happened to the guy, but he's not there. He's not fighting like the Brandon Vera we saw when he first came to UFC. So
yeah,
I just don't see. I don't know if he's ever coming back. This is sad because he was pretty damn exciting fighter.
Yeah.
He beat Frank. He submitted Frank Mir, for Christ's sake. I mean, said both spike fights are really good.
You know, both quick finishes.
Which is why we got the Brandon Vera fight to fill out the rest of the hour.
Right. Certainly wasn't just to help sell pay per view.
We had Dennis Seaver get cracked pretty hard by Donald Cerrone. We saw he had naked choked out, but he had taken two really hard head kicks that knocked him down twice, and the second time he got his back taken.
Right.
And what was the other fight?
Bart Peliszewski versus Tyson Griffin.
Yeah. Tyson did not make weight. He looked fat. So maybe 145 is not for him.
Maybe, no. But he lost anyway.
And he lost.
Knockout or TKO.
It was TKO. He got knocked out in like 45 seconds.
He got 245.
Right, close enough. First round, he got his ass handed to him.
Yeah.
Bart Chalkansky looked pretty damn good. Crazy hair. Really interesting hair. He had like kind of wavy, like curves shaved into it, and like one was like different colors.
It was asymmetrical.
Yeah.
Like a mohawk that curved from one side of his head to the other on the back.
It was something bizarre. And so for Spike TV, they got the pick of the crop, I think. On the main card, the number one featherweight of Japan, Katsui, fought George Roop. I think MMA experts would have predicted Katsui to kill him, but the Japanese curse in the UFC continues.
Yeah.
He won
by a split decision. It was a really close fight the whole time, as I recall.
Yeah, George Roop on paper should have been a guy he should have rolled over, but he did not. He got a lot of great positions, but he did nothing with them. He kept getting him on the ground. He had the trip takedown. Kept getting them out, and then he would proceed to do nothing with it. And it was a close fight, and he just didn't look good. You know, I'm not going to go into my opinion on Japanese MMA being behind the times, but there you go.
Speaking of which, to go off on a tangent, does Dream still exist?
Dream does still exist. So does Sengoku.
Okay.
He had no fighters worth note anymore.
They what?
They don't really have any fighters worth note anymore.
Ah.
A few here and there. Like Bellator and everywhere else. Bellator and UFC have taken him. In other words, Strikeforce has been pretty good. We'll get Strikeforce in a bit. Was the Roy Nelson Crow Cup fight next?
It was somewhere in there.
Our swan song for... we'll talk about it. Somebody just brought it up. Crow Cup got knocked out third round by Roy Nelson. Yeah. Look great in the first.
Was it the first round or the second round that he looked like he was just about to finish Nelson, but Nelson has such a hard head he just kept taking the punches.
Both rounds, really. First round the worst. I think a lot of people would have crumpled in that first round. Roy didn't. Roy took another beat in the second round, up until where he got the takedown and put in the crucifix position. Krokopin was pounding on his head up until to the bell. And fighting on another 20 seconds, referee might have stopped it.
Yeah.
And then third round, Krokop had nothing left, and I think he was looking for a way out. Krokop and Roy tagged him. He went down, got ground and pounded from his back, and that is the last we'll see of Krokop, apparently.
Yeah, he apparently had decided this was his last fight before the fight, so, and he confirmed it after the fight.
Kind of sad. It's you know, but I mean, fighters go out, you know, on a win. I mean,
yeah.
The thing is, like, always fighters are like, I want to go out on a win. It's like, well, if you win, you probably want to fight more. You
think you're right.
You think you still have something left.
Right.
And he's what, 37? He's not even that. He's not even that ancient, but 37. Yeah. 37 in fight years is pretty old.
Yeah, but it's. Of course, you've got the aberration of Randy Couture, who fought till he was, what, 47?
48. 48. And Dan Henderson hit the sitting, yeah. Sitting forward this year. Yeah.
So, yeah, 37 is not, it's the end for a lot of guys, but.
I think Odell was 38.
Yeah. BJ is, what, 32?
Yeah, he's really young.
And after his loss, he said he was done retiring, but he afterwards backpedaled, said, we're going to see what happens. So,
yeah, I didn't think that was – I mean, as soon as I heard it, I was like, it's the heat of the moment. I wasn't convinced.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think his main problem is, you know, just, you know, he's not going to be a title contender. I think that hurts. That hurts him, you know.
Yeah,
I think he'd still be a contender with anyone but Frankie Edgar at 155.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Edgar has a title, and he's lost twice to him, so it's just not a feasible fight. But they know what the future holds, so we'll see.
If Edgar decides to drop to 145, which he could very well do, then...
BJ's really not the realm of making 145. He's not even like the, he's not like a giant 155 at all.
Yeah.
I just don't see him doing it. It just doesn't seem to be part of something BJ would do is drop that low.
Yeah.
The fight we skipped.
Jorgensen versus Corrin.
Yeah. Good back and forth battle. Corrin's been around forever. Dude, it's just always there. I think he fought in like every WEC card between like 06 and 09.
Yeah.
And he's another one. He threatened retirement if he couldn't beat Jorgensen. He did not pull the retirement card. They had a very competitive fight. A lot on the ground. Jorgensen was a better wrestler. Corrin had better jiu-jitsu but couldn't get a submission. Kind of the story of the fight. I don't know. What do you think?
I think I don't actually remember that fight.
It was that memorable, guys. Let me tell you. But yeah, kind of a nothing fight. Kind of weird it was on the main card. But
yeah.
UFC has weird fights on the main card.
Oh, Scott Jorgensen was the one with the skin condition. I remember that.
Yeah, he's the guy that looks like he's a burn victim or a skin condition. That guy. They still. I've never heard anyone explain what the fuck is up with that.
Oh, I'm sure it's just. The splotchy Michael Jackson skin condition.
I think it's either that or he was in a car wreck. I don't know.
It's all over his body. I don't think it's a burn.
I just can't believe no one's ever talked about it. Like
it's not scarred. It's just blotchy.
It's immaterial, but it's just it's interesting. No one's ever like brought it up. Like, hey, anybody's wondering, this guy has blah blah blah.
Just don't talk about it.
Yeah. or supposed co-main, which is just a terrible, terrible fight. Meathead, Matt Mitrione versus Cup Cheek Congo, who did not fight dirty that anyone saw in this fight for once.
Sure.
Cheek won. Not a very good fight. I believe they did touch for the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, the first round was awful.
A lot of circling and not even attempting jabs. They were just literally circling for 3 minutes, which is always exciting.
They landed maybe 2 punches each the whole round. It was awful.
Yeah, the whole fight was... third round got kind of good, but you can't forgive the first 2 rounds.
Well, it picked up, but that's not saying much.
It's hard not to. Nowhere to go but up after the first round, so...
Yeah.
Mitrione's first real test at a higher level heavyweight and didn't quite come through. I don't see that being... normally I see his fight against either guy. Cheek won, so he beat a guy he probably should have beat, and Mitrione lost to a guy who might be above his level. Unfortunately, both did it in a terrible fight, so...
Yeah.
It happens. Unfortunately, if this card was even more, if it wasn't for the main event and a few other exciting fights, they probably would get a lot more shit than they get. Luckily, Nate Diaz seems to have Nick Diaz has a way to make everyone quit talking about everything else but him.
He does.
So we talk about the main event. We talk about the main event. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about happened right after the end of the fight, the call decision. 29-28 across the board for Nick.
Say what?
No, maybe you want to describe what happened after right after they called the decision for Nick, 29-28 across the board.
What did he called out GSP, said, "I think you're faking your injury. You're a pussy," something along those lines.
Where you at, motherfucker? Where you at, George?
Oh, yeah. He did not, unfortunately, say, "Don't be scared, homie."
Yeah, he forgot his catchphrase. GSP apparently was, on camera
he looked calm, but allegedly, again, through the word of Dana White, he was livid. Said, "This is the most disrespectful man I've ever seen."
Was that your French-Canadian accent?
My French-Canadian accent.
He was disrespectful to me, and I want to beat the crap out. I want to beat him into a living death. Was that good?
That was my generic foreigner accent.
Okay. Yeah, he was... George was not happy about the comments made, but the comments did essentially guarantee Nick the next fight, so...
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, worked out for Nick Diaz, and apparently in the press conference he was saying, "Look, this is what I have to do to get a fight. I have to be the bad guy." He broke his kayfabe.
He did. And he just couldn't keep his story straight. He was like, "I can't buy the nice homes, blah blah, dog buy them all the day." And he was looking at him like, "You're an idiot. You can afford to buy a nice home at this point."
Yeah.
You're not making $25 million a fight like, Pac-Man or any of those guys, the top boxing guys. But you're not you're making peanuts here. You're like, "Well,
he got $200,000 reported for the fight."
Strikeforce is paying him pretty nice too.
Say what?
Strikeforce is paying him pretty nice too.
Yeah.
You're like, "Oh, I'm fighting every 3 months. I don't have time to buy a house." It's like, I don't know. I don't know, Nick.
He's a little off, but he's fun to watch fight, so whatever.
Yeah, he just runs.
He's a source of entertainment.
Whatever pops into his head, he's going to say, so.
Yeah. Whether it makes sense or not.
It's okay. So that was the card. It was a historic main event, I think. Nick Diaz, first time back in the UFC in forever. A lot of UFC fans probably didn't know who he was. They do now.
Yeah.
Emphatically, and his comments probably sold, plus the lead up to the Super Bowl weekend pay-per-view, probably going to sell about 1 million buys at least for GSP, Nick.
Yeah.
And and I don't see him taking the fight away from him again this time. There's too much build-up now. But I also see people, you know, probably kidnapping Nick and forcing him to these press conferences at this point.
Yeah.
Cesar Gracie's probably got an ulcer and lost a bunch of hair over Nick at this point. Speaking of his brother is fighting Cowboy Cerrone sometime in the future. That's another fight they made.
That'll be an interesting fight.
Very interesting. Next card coming up is as this recording is tomorrow, yes, and you're in England. A very nothing card. Chris Leben and Mark Munoz main event.
That'll be an interesting fight to watch anyway.
I'll watch it, but it's a numbered UFC paper. It's a numbered UFC pay-per-view card, or it's not a pay-per-view, but it's a numbered UFC event, but it's a fight night card, essentially.
Yeah, it is.
Not even like a spectacular fight night. It's a very mediocre fight night.
Yeah.
I don't know why this was numbered. I would just call it UFC fight night, whatever.
Yeah, they wanted to give one to England, I guess. A numbered event.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting fight. It'll be an okay card, you know. It's pretty on Spike, so I mean,
yeah,
I'll
tape delay, so watch out for spoilers.
Yeah, I definitely would not have paid for this card.
No.
So good. So that was smart. Yeah, I'm on duty tomorrow, so I'll have it. I'll watch it Sunday morning.
So weekend after next is the big one, the Fox debut.
UFC on Fox. Cain Velasquez versus Junior Dos Santos for the heavyweight title. It is a huge fight they're giving away for free on broadcast TV. And I think they had to do it. I think, you know, if you're going to debut on Fox, you can't make it a Martin Munoz Chris Leben fight. You had to go big time.
Yeah. Read something from Guida, Clay Guida, who was fighting Anthony Pettis in the co-main event.
Which is not going to air on TV.
Which is not going to be on TV. It will be on Facebook and Fox.com. But what he said was that it was Fox that made the decision that this fight is not worthy of putting on Fox, which, you know, these names are not big enough to put on Fox. And that concerns me regarding the future of UFC on Fox events. Is this going to be the norm where we only have one giant fight and the rest is dark, or maybe at least the rest will be on FX after the new year?
I don't think so. I think just because this is a one-hour first-time special, they've just made decisions. We're just going to concentrate on the one fight.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. I would have hoped that at least it was. I mean, because of the 5-round fight, you have to make it. You know, if you only have 1 hour, you can only do. But you know, but saying we're not going
to at least leave the window open to show to show it if
goes
the
quick.
Main event is short.
Yeah, but I don't see in the future. I mean, they'll probably show the Fox events will probably at least have the second to top, maybe second. Two fights under the main event, at least, because I mean that's how boxing's always shown at least the top few fights besides the main event. So I can't see them being a main event only.
Yeah, I hope so.
And of course, you know, when the fights are on Fox, we won't have to go to Facebook to watch the prelims. They will be on FX or Fueled or something.
Fueled, yeah.
So it's a one-time deal. I don't see it being a trend. I really hope it isn't, but I really don't see it. But
yeah, I hope you're right.
Do you see the primetime special?
I started it. I have not finished it yet.
It's really good. I heard some people didn't like it. They said it was like they don't really have any heat. Blah, you know, they're not. There's no animosity. Blah blah blah. But just the way it was put together, it's obviously the Fox production people are involved. It's a lot better than your normal UFC special.
Yeah.
Henry Rollins is, I don't know if you caught heard him already, he is the one narrating, which is always jarring once you realize it's Henry Rollins.
He doesn't sound angry.
I was just hearing his voice and it's like, oh, I'm watching Fox, oh, I'm watching UFC, and oh, there's Henry Rollins talking.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's very good. I'd recommend watching it. It's very, it's a very good put together piece, but again, you're not going to get any trash talk. You're not going to get any, like, animosity. It's just...
Right, two very respectful.
Respectful guys talking about their lives and showing what they do, and it's... The production values are just outstanding. It's pretty high compared to what UFC normally does, and I'm guessing that's a lot to do with Fox.
Yeah, and, you know, the normal UFC... countdown events are usually pretty high quality anyway. I mean, they don't seem amateurish.
No, they aren't, but I mean, this is just, I mean, you'll see the difference. It's a different level.
Yeah.
But it was very good. So we're getting that. You know, I will have to make sure I catch. You know, definitely interested in the co-main event of that. That's very much a title contender fight.
Right.
I would guess the winner gets Edgar next.
That is the likely outcome, unless it's just a shitty fight, which is unlikely.
This is a really terrible, terrible fight, and which I don't see happening. Though Guida hasn't been super exciting his last few fights. He's been fighting kind of since he's been to Greg Jackson, he's kind of a weird style. Like, he's changed up.
Yeah.
He's still bouncy, energetic, and the crowd still loves him, but, you know.
He's... being less haphazard, and he's being more tactical.
Yeah,
which is good.
It's good for him, but I mean,
well for him.
Yeah. I mean, the way he went that Diego Sanchez fight, when you know he nearly got his head actually knocked off his head. The best way to go into a fight. What other news? Strikeforce is apparently not dead. Depending on. I mean, obviously, they've been stripping people from the organization. I think they were in preparation of, we're losing Showtime, so we're going to make sure we're set up.
Yeah. And there hasn't been any official word, has there? Or even...
Whatever the official word is, it looks like they are back in talks with Showtime. And they want to continue having MMA on. And so I would look, if they make an agreement, I would look to see the Strikeforce brand... rebuilt with some high-level B-level guys going back to Strikeforce from UFC.
Yeah.
I think you're going to lose your Melendezes. You already lost pretty much everyone else. But
yeah.
I see a lot of high-level, B-level guys going over to Strikeforce and filling out those cards. And, they'll do something to the Strikeforce brand to make it worth Showtime's while. But honestly, yeah. I don't think they can't use the UFC name on Strikeforce on Showtime because of Fox.
They're exclusive with Fox, right?
Yeah. So they're. Otherwise, they would just change it to UFC and just if they had to deal with Showtime and they could, they would just use the UFC name and have, one or two big cards a year on Showtime.
Right. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. How it changes.
I thought, Strikeforce pretty much a dead brand,
That was the appearance of it. But
Melendez was the last guy they really had. I mean, other than the women's division, and that was going to be the one big hit because UFC wasn't going to take the women on.
Right. And the women's division is still thin at that.
Yeah, Cyborg hasn't had a friggin' fight in a year.
Yeah.
There is no one to fight her. Like, who legitimately could challenge Chris Cyborg? Chris Cyborg at this point.
Right. Somebody you've never heard of.
Yeah, so that's usually who it is. It's like, oh, who's this chick?
Yeah, who's this little Japanese girl who looks 20 pounds underweight?
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's then, it's true. Bellator bought out by...
Viacom,
yes. They'll be taking UFC's place on Spike in 2013.
Yes.
Because UFC has a contract. They'll be showing the Unleashed for another straight year on Spike, I guess.
Yeah.
And Fight Night.
Counter-programming UFC on Fox.
Yeah, they're showing Kane and Velasquez fight. Kane and Dos Santos fights the night of. It's just so fucking petty.
It is.
Bellator is coming. Bellator has some decent mid-grade fighters. I saw the main event, Heron and what's his name? Bit of a robbery. I don't get too much into it. I don't think you saw it, but
I did not.
I don't watch Bellator that often. That's the reason my TiVo doesn't pick it up, even though I've got it set for it, and I don't care enough to like go in and fix it. So it just kind of disappears. I don't really see that fight, and yeah, it was a robbery. It was, I thought, an easy 4-1, and the other guy ended up winning 3-2, so I was just confused. My hero's opponent, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He should have won the fight. And we talked a little about Japanese MMA earlier. I think it's still pretty dead. Anyone who seems to be good, they're gonna with featherweight and bantamweight, they're coming over to UFC, I think, at this point. All right. Well, on that note, actually, I gotta cut the show.
Okay.
All right. Thanks everyone tuning in. We'll see you next time outside the cage.
You've been listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Outside the Cage is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.